Today we celebrate Pentecost, as I mentioned at the beginning, often referred to as the birthday of the church, the day the church was brought into being. It's somewhat debatable. The church has existed in one way or another since the beginning of creation, but in a very special way since the incarnation of Christ. But at this stage, at this point, it received its mandate, sort of. Christ began the mandate by saying, "Go out to all the world, teach them the good news, and baptize all souls in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And then he sent his advocate, his Spirit, the third person of the Holy Trinity, to teach them everything else. He makes it clear that there was many other things he wanted to teach them, but at this stage they weren't ready for it. But he would send the advocate, that this advocate, this Holy Spirit, would teach them the rest and would remind them what he had already taught them. We see, therefore, the fruits of the Spirit manifested in a marvelous way on this first Pentecost. The apostles, along with the Blessed Virgin Mary, were in the upper room, in the cenacle room, where they had the Last Supper. They'd been praying for 9 days since the Ascension, the first novena of the Church. Excuse me. And on this 9th day, the Spirit came. They were in this room somewhat probably fearful of what would happen next. But the Spirit came and removed all fear. The Spirit came and gave them everything, not just everything that they needed personally, but everything that the church would need until the end of time. Peter goes out, the head of the apostles, the head of the church, and starts preaching this gift of tongues that he had to speak in such a way that everyone is, from the reading here, we heard everybody from all different places understood what he was saying. An amazing gift. I'm speaking one language and people don't often understand what I'm saying. Not only could he say all these things, and not only could everyone understand him in his own language, but he knew what to say, the right words. He knew what to proclaim. He had understood the truth. And furthermore, he had the courage to say it. Not long before this, they were all cowering in that room with the doors locked, afraid. And now he's speaking openly. And because of his courage, his receptiveness to the Spirit that was offered to him, that was sent to him, was it 2,000 to 3,000 people were added that day. Now, I don't know if you get at the top of the balcony there in the Freemasons Hotel, if you started preaching, the same thing would happen here in 2J, or if anyone would even pay any attention to you. But at that moment, that special moment, the Spirit was working in the hearts of all these people. And so he is also today. He has never stopped. His mission is the same. This mission of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the mission that he has been sent from the Father and the Son to enlighten our hearts. Allow us to be able to speak to others in the language they can understand. And it doesn't necessarily mean another language like Italian or Greek or whatever, but a language that they can take in into their hearts. The church already speaks all these languages because she's all over the world at this point. The Spirit gives us that spirit to know what to say, and often, sometimes more importantly, to know what not to say, to have compassion, gentleness, charity, but always truth. And to give us the courage to say it, the courage to be it. And that's probably, for the most of us, maybe the most difficult. The courage to be what it is that God has asked us to be. He asks us to be it freely. The apostles certainly were put through their paces before they were found capable of being able to receive the Spirit. They had to go through the crucifixion of their Savior, and the fruit of their own fidelity, their own yes, of course, would be their own martyrdom. All of them, except John, it would seem. gave up their life for Christ. But they could only do that also with the Holy Spirit. Now, as you're all aware, I'm sure, traditionally we say that those gifts of the Holy Spirit were seven in number. Wisdom, understanding, right judgment, courage, knowledge, reverence, wonder and awe in God's presence, as the Catechism puts it. Now, I'm not going to give you a course on each one of these because we would need to be here for a week or so. And as much as I know you'd like that, I'd like to concentrate, though, on just one that we've already mentioned. Courage. Because I think that is possibly the one that's lacking in, well, certainly lacking in myself and lacking in many of us. The wisdom, the understanding, the right judgment comes from a study which is backed up with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It'll help us to understand those things both in nature and divine and in ourselves in relation to God. But courage can be difficult because it means somewhat to expose ourselves to something which may be dangerous. The definition of courage. I brought a big book today. This doesn't happen very often. Normally when I bring a book up to the lectern, I don't even open it. But today I have. For a definition of this word courage. Virtue of bravery in facing difficulties, especially in overcoming the fear of consequences in doing good. It's much longer than that, but I'll leave it at that. The fear, overcoming fear of consequences of doing good, in doing good. We know that doing good, doing the good, sometimes costs us something. Sure, an obvious example, giving money to somebody who needs it, clearly costs us, literally, something. But more than that, standing up for what is right will cost us something, maybe cost us our reputation, sometimes costs us our job, sometimes our lives. But doing the good in our heart, in our mind, resisting this or that action, which we know is not right, doing good costs us a lot, costs us some perceived maybe joy or pleasure, but we know through those other gifts of knowledge, understanding, etc., that we are obtaining a much greater good. And that's what we have to remember. And that's what the Holy Spirit helps us remember. To be courageous is because we know that what we're doing is good and there is a greater good to come about it. Even though we're giving up one good, and sometimes it's a real good, like with the religious life. We give up the real good. It is a good of private property for the greater good of hopefully, please God, owning heaven. We give up the good of marriage for a greater good of marriage with the Lamb himself. We give up the good of our own freedom to a certain degree. We freely give up our freedom so that we might follow Christ more closely. One good for another, but it takes courage. And so it is with all of you. For those of you who have married, you've given up the good of your freedom to a certain degree, to obtain a different type of freedom, a different type of union, a different type of love. But it takes courage, and it takes courage to continue on in that. Let us pray, therefore, this Pentecost, as we come to understand these gifts of the Holy Spirit, and from the gifts flow the 12 fruits, which I won't go through right now. But let us pray for these gifts. We've already received them. Through baptism and through confirmation, we've received them. But often we don't use them. Often we don't turn to them. Often we don't even know what they are. But especially this gift of courage. This gift of courage to abandon ourselves to God, as the apostles did. As Our Lady did. She was the shining example and the teacher of all the apostles. Without abandonment to God, we're not going to be able to become the holy people of God that He has made each one of us to be. We are meant to be holy as God is holy. Let us therefore place ourselves in the cenacle, in that upper room with Our Lady and the 12 apostles, praying for the Spirit to come. Come, Holy Spirit. So we have so many beautiful songs within the church and the church's tradition of calling upon the Spirit. So many prayers, come Holy Spirit, calling upon him so that he may fulfill us in a way that maybe as yet we haven't experienced. He may give us those things that we long for, but we don't even know what those things are. That he will show us to our hearts and to our minds those things for which we were made. We were not made for this world, well, at least not for this world alone, but for so much more than that. Our Lady, spouse of the Holy Spirit, as St. Francis called her, she will certainly intercede for us. She will certainly obtain these things, but we do need to go to her and ask her. Let us therefore abandon ourselves at her feet, into her arms, as Christ himself did, with full confidence that she will obtain these things for her, if we can, with the help always of God, become those docile children that will allow us to become holy people of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.